Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. We remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word, and we invite those who are joining us by live stream to stand wherever you are and honor the reading of the Word of God as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Lord, in these verses, we read of all that is our position, all that is our power, all that is our protection in Christ. Lord, we are reminded again this morning of the reality of the spiritual struggle, the warfare that we are in. And Lord, as we are reminded of that again today, lay the foundation in us for victory, that Lord, we might know how to appropriate that power that is ours in Christ. And Lord, may your people, may your church stand firm in victory in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first 2 points in your notes are actually review of last week's message. And you might remember I said last week's message was the introduction. And so we're completing it, Lord willing, here this morning. Last time we saw the actuality of the believer's warfare. Chapter 6, verse 11 of Ephesians, the schemes of the devil. The devil is real. His schemes are real, and we referred to that last time. We won't say a lot more about that today. If you missed last week's, go back and listen to it again and look at this. But there is an actual war. And there's an actual struggle. Chapter 6, verse 12. The struggle. is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. These are real demons, rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. And we spent a good bit of time on that last time. A real warfare. A real devil, real demons, a real struggle that is going on. And believers are involved in that struggle. Last time we were reminded of the arenas of the believer's warfare as well. And that is our whole context where we are, all the way from chapter 5, verse 18, through chapter 6, verse 20. The arenas of spiritual warfare. Actually, last time we pointed out that that began with Satan's hatred and desire to wipe out Israel. But in our context here, the arenas are the church. Remember this, the church, and then wives and husbands, marriages, children, family. These are arenas of spiritual warfare. Your workplace is an arena of spiritual warfare. The government, and the biggest of all is the gospel. Satan does all he can to blind people to the truth of the gospel. So all of those arenas are in play in spiritual warfare. And it's good that we're aware of it. These are the places where Satan and demons will seek to attack, to hurt your church, to hurt your marriage, to hurt your family, to hurt your employment, your workplace, to hurt your government, and especially to hurt the advancement of the gospel in our time. Now, that brings us to where we'll pick up today at chapter 6, verse 10, the application to the believer in warfare. And that's all caught in a word that most of our translations translate as finally in verse 10. Finally. Now, some of you know this. When Paul says finally, he doesn't really mean what you think of as finally. You know, sometimes Paul can say finally and go on for two more chapters. Okay? This phrase, it's actually two Greek words translated finally. We might better translate it henceforth or from now on. From now on, be strong in the Lord. From now on, Now, yes, this is taking us to the final section of the book of Ephesians. And Paul's point is, you know enough already from the book of Ephesians. You know enough to be strong in the Lord and be victorious in spiritual warfare. You do. You already know it. You already know it. So Paul's point here is not to teach you something that you don't know. Paul's point is to say, you know, from now on, realize this. You are in a battle. It applies to you. Say, well, no, it applies to that guy over there because look at all the problems he's going through and I'm not going through it. Well, you know what? The fact that you don't realize it shows that you're not aware. It doesn't mean that you don't have warfare going on. It just means you're not awake. You're not aware. From now on, this is the way it is. This applies to every believer, is the point that Paul's making by the word finally, or henceforth, or from now on. So, this is for each one of us. As a believer who hears or reads this truth. Now, we have advantage. We have the advantage, the great advantage in warfare. The advantage of the believer in warfare, chapter 6, verse 10, you know, you have your position in Christ. Your identity in Christ. Your inheritance in Christ. Your riches in Christ. Your position is, verse 10 says it, in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in who you are in Christ. In the Lord. Now, you know all of that from the first several chapters of Ephesians, don't you? In Christ, all that you are and all that you have in Christ, your identity, your inheritance, your riches, your position in Christ, that is a great advantage in spiritual warfare. A great advantage. Another way to say it is, if you are not in Christ, you are disadvantaged. If you're not in Christ, you won't win. You won't. It's in Christ that you win. Now, this advantage prepares us, and our preparation is captured in the words, be strong in verse 10. Now, be strong is probably not the way we should really translate this. It's not bad, but it's not the best. It's a little bit strange. It's a present tense, but it's an imperative that is passive. Now, if you think about that, how can you have a passive imperative? Well, let me translate it so that it captures this. Be being strengthened. Be being strengthened. You see, this isn't you actively being strong, strengthening yourself. This is you passively being strengthened. Well, it doesn't mean that you're not strong, but it does mean that the source of the strength is not you. It's passive. And this imperative is plural. That means there's no one here to which this does not apply. This is not just you as an individual be strengthened. This is all of you be strengthened. Everyone. Strength in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's an imperative as well. Strength. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in grace. Be strengthened. So your position is in the Lord. Your preparation is being strengthened. And your power in chapter 6, verse 10 is the strength of His might. In the strength of His might. It's not strength that comes from you. It's His strength. It's His might. It's His power. Does the believer have the power to overcome the devil and demons? Yes. But that power that you have is a power that was given to you in Jesus Christ. It's His power. It's His might. And you have it as a believer. Verse 10 does not allow any excuse for a weak believer. Does it? You're being strengthened. You're being strengthened by His strength, by His might, by His power. You're being strengthened in Him. Therefore, you're strong. There's no room for weakness in this. You say, well, I'm so weak. Well, then you need to go back and reflect on who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. So that's the advantage that we have. We have a position raised and seated with Christ at the Father's right hand, far above all principalities and powers. Seated with Him, that's our position, and seated in Him, we are strong. That's our advantage. Now, verse 11, we're introduced to the armor. The armor of the believer for warfare. 6:11, put on the full armor of God. 6:13, take up the full armor of God. Now we're just introducing the armor today. We've got two more messages coming up on the armor where we'll look at it. But what is it? It's referred to here as the full armor. Panopleon. We do have an English word, panoply. And full armor or complete protection. A complete armor. That's what it is. The full armor is your protection. The full armor is your identity in Christ, your inheritance in Christ, everything that you have in Jesus is armor. Now, it's more than armor, but it's armor. Everything you are and everything you have in Christ. And notice it says, the full armor of God. That is the full armor belonging to God. This is God's armor. And you have it. It's God's armor. It's the full armor of God. Now, we'll come back to this in weeks to come, but let's just look at one passage this morning. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5. That points out this is God's armor. Isaiah chapter 11 is messianic prophecy. It's a prophecy about the Messiah, Jesus. And we won't read it all, but in verse 5, Isaiah 11:5, also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Now, when we get to verse 14, Lord willing, next time, having girded your loins with truth, the belt of truth. Do you realize Messiah has as his armor a belt of righteousness, of faithfulness? Yeah, the Messiah has armor. And you are in Christ, in the Messiah. Therefore, his armor is your armor. Think about that. Your armor is Jesus. It's Jesus' armor. And you share in it, in your position in Him. So that's what we'll point out today about what it is, and we'll come back to that next time. Verse 11 says, put it on, chapter 6, verse 11, put it on. This too is a bit strange. This is also a passive imperative, which means you're not actively putting it on. You're having it put on you. And this is not a present tense. It's an aorist tense. So we probably should translate this in verse 11, having the full armor of God put on. It was done. It was put on you in your salvation. Having it put on. And these words, put on. Now, can you recall back to chapter 4? We had a whole section in chapter 4 about putting off and putting on. Do you remember that? Put on. Put on. Chapter 4, verse 24, for example. Having put on the new man in Christ. That was the same tense as it is here. This isn't saying you just keep putting it on, putting it on, putting it on. No, it's put on you, and you don't ever get to take it off. Having the full armor of God put on. You have the armor of Christ on you. It's your position. It's your identity in Christ. It's who you are if you're saved. So put it on. And then verse 13, chapter 6, verse 13, take it up. Now this is an active imperative. Take up the full armor of God. It's on you. Now use it. Take it up. Use it. So the armor is what we have. Chapter 6, verse 11. The adversaries of the believer in warfare. We covered these the last time, but you see the devil in verse 11. The schemes of the devil. And you see in verse 12, demons. We're not warring, struggling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Demonic beings. These are real adversaries. And the authority of the believer in warfare. Now, this is what we want to make sure we take with us today. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has already defeated the adversaries. Right? Jesus has defeated the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness. Jesus has already defeated them on the cross, in his resurrection, and in his ascension to the right hand of the Father. He has defeated them. Now, keeping your place here in Ephesians 6, look with me at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians 2:15. Actually, verse 14 says that he took the decree against our sins away, canceling it, having nailed it to the cross. So by his cross, his death, and by his resurrection, verse 13, he has defeated demonic forces. Now, Colossians 2:15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Jesus' ascension was a victory parade over demonic beings. He made a spectacle of them, a public display of them. Jesus triumphed over them. He disarmed them. Now, think of the advantage that you have in Christ. What advantage does Satan have? What advantage do demons have over you as a believer? The answer is none. They have no advantage over you because Jesus has disarmed them. They have no advantage. It's a real war, but they're fighting without weapons. All they have is schemes. The schemes of the devil. Not weapon. He's been disarmed. Demons have been disarmed. You know, this idea of a saved person being all kind of flipped out and afraid and everything about what Satan and demons are going to do to you. You know what? That is unbelief. He's been disarmed. Remember Ephesians 1:20 and 21? Christ has been raised and seated above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Christ is above them all. They are defeated. Now, that is true. It is also true that believers are victors in Christ. Believers are never victims. Believers are victors in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. What did Jesus do? He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Believers are not part of Satan's kingdom. You have been rescued from it. That happened in your salvation. You're not part of Satan's kingdom. You're not subject to Satan or his kingdom. You have been rescued and you are now in the kingdom of Jesus. You have a different head, Jesus. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Not only did Jesus lead the parade and make a spectacle of the demons, But 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. He leads us in triumph in Christ. You, as a believer, are part of the triumph. You're part of the victory. You are a victor in Christ. Remember Ephesians 2:6. You, as a believer, have been raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are in Him. He is above Satan and demons. You are in Him. Therefore, you are above Satan and demons. Yes, you are. Yes. You have authority. So, believers have authority to resist the devil and demons. Ephesians 6:13, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. You have the armor of God? Yes, that gives you authority. Therefore, you are able to what? Resist. You're able to resist in the evil day. You say, well, they tricked me. I just can't resist them. That's unbelief. You can resist. This says you can. You are able. You will be able to resist. And this is a big part of how you fight, how you struggle. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit there to God, therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will what? Resist the devil, and he'll have a discussion with you. Resist the devil, and he'll resist you back. No. This is a promise to you. This is the authority of the Word of God in your life that is your authority. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. He'll flee from you. He'll run. Resist him. You don't need to stand there and have a dialogue with him. Just say no. Say, no, you can't do that. You can't make me do it. You can't do it. No, you're not allowed, devil. And when you resist him, he must flee. It's a promise. He must. If you say, well, then why do I just keep getting beat up over and over and over again? Well, apparently you're not resisting. You're not. Because when you resist, he will flee. You have that authority. Your authority is on the basis of your position in Christ, and it's on the basis of the Word of God. We'll come back to that as we talk about the armor for the next couple weeks. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You fight by the Word. Yeah. You have that authority. Therefore, believers have overcome. Chapter 6, verse 13. Having done everything. Having done everything. You say, well, that's... Is there a whole list of things that I'm supposed to do, and after I've done them all, then I can win? No, that's not the point. Having done everything. This could probably be better translated even, having subdued. Therefore, having subdued. Having subdued Satan, demons, having overcome them, having done everything, you've done it. Now you can stand, having done everything, to stand firm. Verse 11 says, you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Believers are overcomers. Now, that's a whole message in itself. Believers are overcomers. Believers have authority. They have victory. Therefore, believers can stand firm. Say, well, I'm just sort of blowing in the wind. I'm a little wishy-washy. I'm kind of weak. No. Stand firm. And if you're saved, you have everything that is necessary for you to stand firm. No saved person can say, well, I just can't do it. No saved person can say, well, I'm just too weak. No saved person can say, well, I just can't resist. No, you are able to stand firm. You are. Say, well, but what if I don't? Well, then either you're forgetting and not believing something, which is possible, or you've never actually been saved at all. Because with your salvation comes the armor, comes all of this identity, all of this power, it is you in Christ. Believer, know who you are and know all that you have in Christ. If that means you need to go back and reread the whole book of Ephesians again, then you better do it. But you need to know who you are and all that you have so that you can stand firm as a victor in the gospel. This is the triumph of the gospel. This is the triumph of Jesus. And unbelievers, those who have never been saved, you don't have this protection. But you can. If you'll trust Jesus as the one who died in your place and for your sins, who was buried, who rose from the dead on the third day, who is alive, is ascended to heaven, and gives salvation, eternal life, as a free gift to all who will trust Him for it. You believe on Him for it, and it's yours. And that salvation includes all of this position in Christ, all of this power, all of this armor, all of this protection. It's yours when you believe in Him for your salvation. Believe in Him today, and it will be yours to use. Believers, use it. You have it. Use it. Stand firm in Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank You now for the wonder of all that is ours in Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that You have already won. You've already won the battle. Thank You, Lord, that You send us forth now to claim the spoils. Lord, may each one here and each one listening in today know the great joy and the great power of authority and victory in Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.